Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 234. Actually, I think it's episode 235. I can't even remember now.
What day is this? Who are we again?
I don't know.
Wait, we're the Perfectly Sane Show. We already
we got that. We did get that part. At least we know who we are. We haven't gone that
ish
that far down the hole. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello.
Well, we were normally joined by Jeff and Fozzie.
Where'd they go?
where did they go? Jeff is moving into a new apartment.
Yeah.
And Fozzie totally forgot that he had family coming in this week to town, so...
Lovely.
He knows now, though. He's well aware now.
Like, I was like, dude, is your dad coming into town this week? And he's like, oh, shit, yeah.
Like, nice.
Yeah, is he coming in on the day we're recording?
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah.
Oops.
Classic Fozzie.
Yeah. So, they are out handling personal matters. Just fine. I mean, it's early in the year anyway. But we have brought on friends of the show, Justin.
Hello, everybody. I haven't been on since episode... fill in the gap there. I don't know.
Four.
And Josh, it's probably been longer since Josh has been on. So
yeah, I think it's been a couple of years. Filling in for the fat white mailman with the other fat white mailman.
That's a good point.
Totally true.
One postal worker for another postal worker.
That's a demographic, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I fit it perfectly.
We need to cover that base. So.
Well,
Josh, are you allowed to listen to the podcast?
It might not be covered for long.
Josh, are you allowed to listen to the podcast while you deliver mail or no?
Yeah.
Is that frowned upon?
I generally listen to it. I don't wear headphones. We're not supposed to wear headphones, so I listen to it just off my speaker on my iPhone. So I don't usually listen to anything with that's explicit.
Okay.
If anybody hears something like that while I'm delivering mail, it might not go over so well.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We swear too much is what you're saying.
No, not just you. It's there was one embarrassing moment when I had to deliver a certified letter to someone, and I was listening to Stuff You Should Know, which is an educational podcast. I listen to them all the time. But the episode I was listening to was How Condoms Work. And it was a very hot girl who answered the door, and I'm like, I swear it's an educational podcast. She's like, oh, I'm sure it is. I'm like, yeah, that didn't make it any better.
Postal workers, they keep the mail going.
They do.
Yeah. But I might be having my last day there very soon.
Really?
Wait, really? Oh.
Yeah, because I refuse to work on Sundays, so...
So
I'm probably going to be fired after when I don't show up on Sunday.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you expecting for them to eliminate your position?
Yes. We had the sit-down meeting today, and they were trying to figure out a way for me to stay, and I was like, well, I'm not working Sundays, so... And they're like, yeah, okay, that, I guess there's nothing we can do. Like, nope.
Okay.
As it is, I work 6 days a week a lot of the time, and I don't want to be stuck working 7 days a week, especially come summertime.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, but I didn't think there was mail on weekends.
No, we can thank Amazon for that, because they made a deal with the post office, and we now deliver Amazon packages on Sundays.
Oh. Thank you, Amazon.
Yes.
Thank you
Amazon
for
Amazon is going to cost me my job.
Sweet. In a bad way.
Nice of them.
Yes.
Or not. Let's talk about stuff that's maybe not so depressing.
I'm not very depressed. I think I've already got another job lined up, so.
Sweet.
Well, there, good. Awesome. That
works
that
out.
Is good.
Yeah. Awesome. Good
He's
way to
working for UPS. Wait, no.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
We have not actually sat down to talk about what we've been playing in a while. And we have no idea what you guys are playing, so why don't we kick it off like that? What have you guys been up to?
Josh, you want to go first?
Sure. Well, this is the first time I've been on where I haven't been playing Civ Rev.
Oh.
I lately I've been playing Dead Rising 3, and before that I was playing pretty much Dragon Age Inquisition nonstop. So that's about it. Other than that, I've been mostly reading for the past few months, actually.
How do you like Dead Rising 3?
I think it's an awesome game. I would have finished it a long time ago, but I ended up having to sell my Xbox One over the summer.
Oh.
So I got a new one on Black Friday, and after playing Dragon Age, I jumped right back into Dead Rising, which, this is awesome. I'm not sure anybody else knows that this happened, but if you use a new Xbox One with a game you've already played, it automatically reloads your save. You don't have to import it or anything. I just popped in the game and installed it again, and when it loaded it up, it said continue from your last spot, and it put me right back where I was on my last Xbox.
Microsoft's done some smart things in advancing that sort of kind of save state and save technology, so it's just seamless now.
Yeah, it's completely awesome. I love that.
I can't wait to buy my Xbox One, but we'll talk about that later.
Josh, I'm assuming you're enjoying Dragon Age.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
Seems to be the overall consensus on that one.
I'm not loving it. I'm still playing it.
Okay.
No, I'm there too. Actually, I
not loving it anymore.
Yeah. So we had our big discussion in the podcast, and at that point, I thought it was the best game ever. But the more of it to play, the more I just lose my interest.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of hook to the game.
I can somewhat understand that, especially after a while, because the combat gets very repetitive. You keep using the same moves over and over again, but
it's not very involved. You just sit there, you hit a button, and you wait for the cooldown to end, and then you hit it again, and it's not very much fun. And there's no, like you had in Dragon Age Origins, or even to a lesser extent Dragon Age 2, like an overarching quest that really pulls you in.
Yeah.
Like you spend a lot of time just roaming the countryside and doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, the countryside is beautiful, and there's lots to see, and it all looks really cool, but it's not really a hook. And so I put the game down like 2 weeks ago with every intention of coming back, but then I started playing other things, and I don't really feel that urge to go back.
Yeah, I can understand that. There were times where it was just like I felt like I was just going through the motions, just trying to get everything done. And for the first, since there was no achievements connected to like all the collectibles, I didn't get them all, which is completely not me in most games. I usually go after everything, but it's like after a while, I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna find the rest of these mosaic pieces or anything like that. It's like, oh,
I can't even figure out those astral.
I had a lot of fun with those.
I can't figure that out.
I didn't have any problems with those. I had a lot of fun.
But Tony, I'm like you. It hasn't really hooked me yet, and it's managing cooldowns. It's the crafting system sounds so cool, but I have no idea how to craft.
Don't really get any of the stuff that I've been crafting. It's all like dwarven chests and.
Yeah, I know I'm pretty good with the crafting and everything. The problem is that it's so rare to find anything to craft that's better than what you already have. So
right?
It's like, okay, I found this new sword that can do up to like 150 damage. Well, I've already got a schematic for one that'll do 180 damage, so it does me no good.
And then the war room, as cool as that is, it is so weird that they have these little counters or countdowns when you send people to go do missions, and it's like, why does this?
That's kind of like what Assassin's Creed did, starting with, was it Brotherhood that they started that with?
Yeah, Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't play the Brotherhood. It's like, it's weird.
I wasn't a big fan of Skyhold simply because it's one huge area where anything you want to do is there, but you have to run constantly all across.
Yeah.
You want to go to the war room, you have to go all the way over here. You want to sell your stuff, you got to go all the way outside. You want to craft, you have to go right back inside. And it's like, especially the monster table there where you turn in the research.
Yeah.
You have to go up there before you go and sell your stuff, because when you're selling your stuff, you just press Y to sell all the junk. But if you do that before you go to the monster table, you end up selling your research stuff, and you might need that to get boosts.
Yeah.
So it's like, That's what I would have liked a smaller area like the campsite in Dragon Age 2. Everything was right there, right. One confined area.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least you enjoyed Dragon Age.
I haven't played it since our Game of the Year podcast.
That's funny. That also speaks a lot to it. Like when we had the Game of the Year podcast, we picked Skyrim. Like there was debate, but like I couldn't stop playing Skyrim after that.
Yeah, I went through. I finished the campaign in Skyrim, and I wanted to like do the faction quests, and like there was a lot of really cool stuff in there. I think Dragon Age is really like expansive, and it's fun when I'm playing it. But as I'm kind of like, you know, Justin and Tony with this, where I'm not hooked. I think it's a really well-made game, but like as a deep RPG, I'm just not like, yeah, I'm invested in this shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was ever invested. Even in the romance subplots, it's like, those are the things that always get you in BioWare games, is the romance, and like, I romance Cassandra, and I was really into it right up until basically the point where I finished it, and then it was like, okay, now what? Because at that point, I was only like halfway through the game, and it's like...
Classic male.
Yeah, I'm done with the...
Classic male picture. Did the girl, left her,
well,
I'm done.
Again, at least in Dragon Age Origins, you can keep going back and getting some more, but if you go back to Cassandra afterwards, all you end up doing is kissing her. It's like, what's the fun of that?
That's funny. I did find it odd that Jeff got so engaged in it. Like, I don't know if he finished it, but it was kind of the only thing he played for like a month straight. So,
yeah. Given how into he gets with stories, I found it really odd that this was just kind of roaming around and doing stuff, and he found that really appealing.
Yeah,
just very un-Jeff.
Maybe he just needed something big and expansive like that.
Yeah,
and that's what worked for him. I don't know. Josh. So just Dragon Age and Dead Rising for you?
Yeah,
right now?
Pretty much. Like I said, other than that, I've just been reading a lot. I've been stuck on the Game of Thrones books.
Oh, yeah.
Since, like,
October. That's a good place to be stuck.
Yeah. I've got, like, 200 pages left in A Dance with Dragons now, and it's like, I really want to, but I really don't want to finish it because I don't know when the next one's coming.
That's a good point. I didn't realize there was what? Is it two more books he's actually doing? I thought it was one, but apparently it's two more.
Two
yeah,
more.
It's two
There's
more.
It's supposed to be seven.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he should make it eight since he split up book four and five.
Whatever he wants. Oh, that goes out the guy
he wrote them as one book, but he split it up into two. That doesn't.
Well,
really
I think we leave that to the filmmakers who are supposed to take, you know, seven books and make them into eight movies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a. Uh-oh. I've only read through book four, so I should probably read book five before the new season starts. But
yeah,
they're not that far yet. So, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, they are.
They're getting there. Yeah.
They're just about up to it.
Like they pretty much finished book three at the end of last season. So
yeah, and book four and five take place like side by side. So
yeah.
The show is probably going to be dealing with both of them pretty heavily. It'll probably get about halfway through each of them by the time the season ends.
That comes back in April?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I'll chalk that in as one of my books in the next couple months. that's cool, though. I've been on, like, a reading kick as well. Like, I haven't played a ton of games this year so far, so... but Justin, what have you been playing?
So I was playing Dragon Age, and then the DLC for Destiny came, and then I realized what they added, and that was kind of boring. So I went back to Dragon Age, and then that didn't grab me, and that got really boring. And then I decided to play Far Cry 4, and that one's been a lot of fun. Like that's I think it's the same formula as Far Cry 3, but I actually never played Far Cry 3. I know, shocking, but this one's is a lot of fun. It's just, and I think I like it just because it's just really quick missions, really good gunplay. I really like the stealth elements in the missions. a lot of fun using that bow and arrow. I am so taken away by the amount of things that you can do in that game, and it's just so much fun to do. One thing I keep doing, and I keep putting this on Twitter, is like I really want to try the co-op with somebody, but I'm like no one, I haven't heard anybody want to take up. So hopefully we'll play some co-op.
You're playing on PS4, right?
Yeah, I am playing on PS4.
Yeah. I'd play co-op with you, but no dice on that one.
Well, don't worry. We'll talk about what Xbox is doing, and maybe that will change.
Definitely. Right.
But yeah, mostly Far Cry 4 has been a lot of fun, and it's weird because the story, I was just playing it before we started, and I just started moving the story a little bit forward, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it's nonsense so far, but the side missions have been a lot of fun just to do, and I honestly I don't know why it captures me, but for some reason Destiny does not, Dragon Age does not, and I think it's just because these are just really quick, shorter bursts of fun, and that's all I have time for because I'm busy with work.
Destiny is like a job.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Like
I feel like I should hire somebody to farm and get me the Vanguard marks that I need for stuff.
Yes. It takes a long, like anything, like whether we want Crucible marks or Vanguard marks, it takes forever to get that shit.
Yeah.
Like, forever.
So, funny thing, when they did that patch with the so-called new weapons, and they upgraded all their attack power, I finally got a weapon, and I'm like, I had it upgraded pretty well, not fully, but then this guy, every Friday, Xur comes down from his... wherever the moon or wherever the hell he's from,
and I
get to finally upgrade my exotic weapon, and I didn't realize when you do that it resets all the stats, so I now have to do everything all over again just to get it.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I didn't know that. I thought it's just an upgrade. Oh, you upgrade the attack power, but you still have to start all over again.
Yeah, that's really dumb because like you've wasted all that experience, all that. All the shards and everything to get to that point, and now it's all gone. Like all that progress lost.
I don't know what Bungie was thinking?
Like, they hate their players. They just hate them. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Tony, do you have that Destiny stuff in news?
No.
All right. I'll kind of chart that out then when we get to news. Because there's some weird things planned for that in the future. So.
Trying to ignore that game now. It's on my list.
I've been trying to ignore it since it first was announced, and I've been pretty successful about it.
See, like,
I picked into the hype. Like, I bought the season pass. I totally believed it. I believed. I played that beta. I played the alpha, and I was like, "Yes, this is going to be even better." And
yeah, like I played the alpha on PS4, and I played the beta when it came out, and I was like, "All right, like, I get like the mechanics are." They're spot on. They're fantastic. Like, and all right, they're not giving a whole lot of story in this beta, but it's the beta. Like, they're not going to reveal a whole lot.
Exactly.
And then you get to the game, and it was that. Like, that the beta was the first quarter of that game, and it was like, okay, they didn't put a story in this, and then you figure out that it's really just designed for you to keep replaying these missions. Over and over and over again, and the weird thing is, though, and I mean, I ended up putting like over 100 hours into it last year.
Wow.
which isn't anywhere near as much as Don put in. It's like when I'm playing it, I'm having fun shooting stuff. Like, it's very satisfying, but then when I finish, I feel like I've wasted my time. So I kind of haven't played it in the last little bit, and I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah,
I've already deleted it off my Xbox One.
I don't know. There's still that second piece of DLC, like, and I'm still thinking to myself, why am I holding on to this game when I could just trade it in?
Well, I mean, like I'm in like a worse position, whereas I bought like the digital. Super edition or whatever, which had both pieces of content, so like I can't trade it in, I'm just kind of like stuck with it, and I have these, you know, $30 extra worth of content that's still coming. So it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm like roped in. So that's why I continue to play it. Like,
yeah,
I have to get my money's worth out of it. Like,
yeah.
Is that anything else though besides
Ground Zeroes? Ground Zeroes. I started playing. Recently bought that for like $6 on PS4. That was a lot of fun.
So you finished that like in about 12 minutes, and you're done now. So
well, yeah, 20 minutes. I did it pretty well stealthily, and there's other stuff there to do, but I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. But it's fun. It's fun.
It's good. I bought it for what it was. It was like $6 or something like that on Xbox One too.
Yeah.
$6 for, you know, 3 hours or whatever of Metal Gear. I can get behind that.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear franchise. I know the story has gone off the rails, and I'm well aware, but...
Yeah, it's, like, that's what I'm in it for, though. It's so stupid that I need to see where, how stupid it gets.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. It's good. It's good stealth. One of those games I hold dear.
Anything else besides that?
No, that's it.
No. Tony, what have you been up to since we last sat down? It's been a while.
I have played a ton of NBA 2K15.
I see that just about every night when I come on. Tony's playing NBA.
It's pretty much all I've played for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
You doing the season?
I'm playing the career mode. My player.
How's your player?
So my player who... I forgot to name in the beginning, so he ended up being named generically. So he is Roderick McDonald.
That's a name.
Yes. I'm getting close to the end of the second season, and I'm the in the lead for MVP voting, so I'm probably going to win the MVP. It's been a lot of fun. I really like the game. I do have some issues to pick with it. The story is really interesting. The game starts off with you not getting drafted on draft night, despite the fact that your agent like guaranteed a team was going to pick you in the first round. And you like start like chasing him around your apartment, like trying to beat him up.
Okay.
But you start the game there, and then you end up trying out for a team later on in the season to get a 10-day contract, and you play through that 10-day contract. And if you play really well and you work really hard in practice, you could either get signed for the rest of the season or signed to another 10-day contract, which is what happened to me. Or you could get dropped from the team entirely. I'm really not sure what happens at that point, but I'm sure it can't be good.
You go play in the WNBA.
Right. But I played through my 2 10-day contracts. I got signed for the rest of the season, and then I was playing really well, and then I was exchanging texts with my agents about who was going to assign me in the offseason and all that, and one of my teammates found my phone in the locker room with all the text on it, so that was this huge controversy. Like, everyone in the league was asking about it. I was getting interviewed post-game, and they were asking me questions about it, and of course, my teammates were confronting me, and my coach confronted me, and the GM confronted me, and it's just they've really weaved the actual story mode really well into the game. It does kind of dissipate a bit as you get further along, so I've probably put, I don't know, 70 hours into the game, and there's less and less of those story bits now, and it's more just playing. But the playing gets more fun because your player gets a lot better. I will say that, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a perfectionist or whatever, but the more I play, the more the little nitpicky things start to bother me. So I'm the point guard, and my coach will like call up, run the pick and roll, and the AI in the pick and roll is terrible in this game. So you call the pick and roll, and basically my only option is to shoot it or turn the ball over. Because if I try to pass it out of the pick and roll, the AI always intercepts it. So it's kind of annoying whenever that they call the pick and roll. I keep calling it over and over and over again. Just bugs the crap out of me. So now I've gotten to the point where when the coach calls the pick and roll, I just ignore him. And you get a grade for the coach from the coach and from your teammates. And my teammate grade is always like A or A+, and my coach grade is like C.
Because you're not doing the pick and roll?
And whenever he calls a pick and roll, like the grade I get for that little area is always F. I'm just like, screw you. I'm not turning the ball anymore. I give up.
Were any of your contract offers to be in the next Planet of the Apes movie?
No.
Okay. Although, Roddy McDowell was in the original Planet of the Apes, so.
Roddy McDowell. I did try to do the, back in the day, I tried to do the face scan thing. It didn't work. I should try it again so that I can get a player who actually looks like me. Apparently it's supposed to work now.
They said it's fixed, right? So.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But game's a lot of fun. I had... You always have to be... It's an online always type deal. So if you're playing the My Career mode, even though it's a single player mode, you have to be connected to their servers. Which I had an issue in like the first week I had the game, and I haven't had a problem with since. So... Okay. That part hasn't been so bad, but
huh.
A lot of fun. If you like basketball, it's really good. If you don't like basketball, well, you should probably play something else because it's a game about basketball.
That's probably why I won't play it.
I hate basketball. My stance on it is there should never be a sport where you get rewarded for cheating.
Get rewarded for cheating in every sport?
Not cheating, for breaking the rules.
You mean traveling?
No. When you foul intentionally at the end of the game, there shouldn't be any incentive for breaking the rules.
Oh,
they got rid of that in football.
Yeah, but fouling isn't breaking the rules. I don't understand how that's breaking the rules.
A foul is a rule violation.
It's not a rule violation. If you do this, you accrue a foul. It's
exactly, but you're not allowed to wrap up a player. That's against the rules.
It's right. Not against the rules. It's just a foul.
That's the definition of the...
No, it's not breaking the rules. It's if you do this, then this happens. That's not...
All right, well...
It's not like... Cheating is like...
That's why I changed...
Stick them on your bat in baseball. And
that's why I changed it from cheating.
Well, in what way is against the rules different from cheating? I don't understand.
Because cheating is... You're trying to get away with breaking the rules and not get caught.
And in this, you are doing it on purpose. But what is
to get caught? And your end game is to force them to go to the foul line and hope they miss so you can get the ball back.
What about in football when the quarterback is beaten by the receiver and reaches out and grabs them so they can't catch a touchdown pass?
So
how's that any different?
So you're
they get called for a penalty.
Exactly, it's the same thing.
Yes,
that definition, by what you just said, like football.
Yes, but the team that did the grabbing, they get a penalty equal to what the catch would have been. It's not like football, it's a 15-yard penalty, and most people think that's
so what you're saying, Josh, is like, let's make this like analogy to football, is if at the end of the game the other team is up by like a 10 points or whatever, and they need to get the ball back, but they don't. The other team has the ball, so they commit a foul, and then the rule is that you then have to kick a field goal, and like your intention is, well, we're going to do this, and they're going to have to kick a field goal, and hopefully they miss it. We'll get the ball back.
To me, it'd be like if a team went offsides on purpose and just kept sacking the quarterback, they get like a 5-yard penalty for being offsides, but they're getting 7 yards on the sack, so and the down still counts. That means that they do have to kick a field goal or punt. It's like, no, if you commit a penalty in football, there is nothing good that's going to happen to you.
I don't know if anything good is happening to the team.
They're getting free shots.
Yeah, I guess. Your objection is to the way clock management is handled in basketball.
Right. I think that's
what I don't like about basketball.
Yeah.
I like basketball a lot. Well, not a lot, but I like it. But that's the problem I have. Like the last 2 minutes.
The last 2 minutes are excruciatingly long.
They can be. Yeah. They can be awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the easy way to do it would just be, if you foul a team, the team who gets fouled gets to choose. They either get to take two shots or they get the ball.
Well, you know, I will say
that. There'd be no intentional fouling.
You could penalize it more by giving them two shots and then having the team keep the ball. Like,
Yeah,
that would be an interesting way of
make it a technical foul. But okay. But that's kind of out of line because that's not something that you could do throughout the game. I don't think that really.
Well, technically it is. So technically, if you just grab a random player, that's a technical foul.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think anything that you do like, on there purpose are some really should be called a flagrant.
Well, flagrant is intent to injure. Like there's some.
Oh, okay. I think a flagrant is doing it obviously on purpose. Is what flagrant means to me.
It's not what it means in the rule book.
Yeah, I don't follow basketball that closely to really understand that.
I was a referee, so I'm kind of.
Yeah.
Adam Silver will listen to this podcast and tell us his thoughts.
He's going to change everything.
He will change everything. He got rid of that guy. Now he's going to fix this to bring Josh in.
That's it. I only like basketball in March.
Yeah, that is the best time of year for basketball.
Yeah, that's okay for me. I mean, for me, that's just March Madness is just for me to kind of see who's going to be going into the draft and who's potential. I don't really care about all the mobs or schools.
I like the excitement of the tournament, whether you're doing a pool or not. Like, there's just an excitement around the fact that this is, like, you know, a 2.5-week tournament. And, like, you have, what is it, 32 games on, like, Thursday and Friday when it starts. Like, and it's just nonstop. Like, it's just this crazy sports extravaganza for, like, 48, 72 hours straight. And it's insane. Like, it's a ton of fun to just kind of, like, get into the excitement of that. And you can pick on any team and, like, just kind of go. But that's the only time I really, like, give a shit about basketball. So. But Tony likes it.
Yeah.
Tony, what else are you playing?
Pokemon.
That's even worse.
What is wrong with Pokemon?
I've hated Pokemon since I was in high school. I was of that age where I was just about... probably 13 or 14, so it was I was at the age where I was too old to like Pokemon, so I instantly hated it, and I've hated it ever since.
Now, have you ever played it?
No.
Do you like
it's something you've never tried?
Old school like JRPGs.
Yeah, it's old school JRPGs.
See, the kind of games that you say that you like, Josh, I think you would actually enjoy Pokemon.
I just hate the idea of Pokemon.
What about the idea of Pokemon do you hate? I don't...
I can't explain it. It's an irrational hate. I know that, but it's just... I hate it. If there was one thing I could eliminate from existence on the planet, it would be Pokemon.
And basketball. God.
And basketball.
No,
who cares about hunger and death and murder?
Pokemon.
Josh, Pokemon.
That's right.
You should penalize the Pokemon. That's why you only see one Pokemon on the field. Which Pokemon are you even playing? Sorry, I don't even.
So I was. I've actually been alternating, mostly because of my son. We've been playing Pokemon X and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. We actually challenged the Elite Four and beat the champion in Pokemon X this past week. Those matches can be hard because those Pokemon are really high level.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a battle, but I've been having a lot of fun with it. I like Alpha Sapphire. I like some of the new mechanics they've added, like the Pokemon like shaking in the grass, so you can actually like hunt them down instead of it being a random encounter.
That's good.
And it's always like a special Pokemon. It's like it's either shiny or it has a special move or it's really high level. So there's like a reason to go hunt that Pokemon down, even if you've caught it already.
So I haven't played Pokemon in a really long time, but I'm assuming they added more types, right?
Oh, yeah.
Has it gotten way too confusing for you? Because that's my problem, I think.
I'll admit that I occasionally pull up the type chart on my computer so that I can see what goes against what.
Yeah.
Pokemon X added fairy types to take care of the dragon types, and there's I don't know how many types there are.
Okay.
14, 15. There's a lot.
So I didn't mind the fact that they added more Pokemon, but when they added more types, I was like, this is too hard for me.
Yeah, some of them it's kind of hard to figure out what's good against what, because a lot of them make sense. Like, yeah. Water is good against fire.
Sure.
lightning is good against water. Like, that kind of stuff makes sense. But you're like, okay, bug against a fairy type. I have no idea.
Well, bug can poison fairy, but fairies are immune to poison, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, so.
A fairy beats a dragon?
Fairy beats a dragon. Fairy type was added to, combat the supremacy of dragon types because they were too good.
So what beats a fairy?
A bug. I don't remember.
I thought you said a bug beats a fairy.
No, I have. See, I can't remember. Something beats a fairy type, I swear. Maybe a ghost type. I don't know.
It's like a really elaborate version of like rock, paper, scissors, though.
Yeah.
Yes. It's rock, paper, scissors if there were like 16 choices instead of 3.
One reason I would never play a Pokemon game is because they're always on handhelds, and I don't play handhelds.
That is problematic.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they've never brought it to, main consoles.
I don't know.
Wasn't it originally on N64 at one point?
There's like Stadium. Versions of, there's like Pokemon Stadium, and there's like Pokemon games, but not like a,
proper.
Yeah, like a full Pokemon game.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if they did come to the console, it'd be Nintendo consoles, which I don't buy those either, so.
Man, you don't like anything.
Yes, I do. Okay. It's not that I dislike Nintendo, it's that they don't have achievements. Or trophies.
So. Hey, I got three badges so far on Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. I'm just saying.
But are those specific to the game?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of games that have like in-game achievements, but I'm talking about stuff that you can actually
show off.
Yes.
Okay. To whom? Who's like, I want to see your Xbox achievements?
I don't know. I've never found that person. But when I do, I'll have them.
I'll say this. I will, like, if I'm playing a game, I will kind of like look over a friend's. Like, oh, they got this achievement. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the extent of it now, is just looking at the thing. And then I don't really go out for achievements anymore or trophies. I'm just kind of like, okay.
Oh, and in my case, and Tony can back this up, like, my score is so far ahead of just about everybody else's.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a competition anymore to, like...
Well, it was never a competition for me. I've never made the attempt to actually try and...
You know, when your gamer score is 2 million, Chris, it's kind of hard to...
It's not 2 million.
Yeah, I was kind of getting up there close to you before I switched back to playing PS3, and I pretty much abandoned my 360 for about 2 years, so I basically done nothing. I think the last time when I played my 360 regularly, you were at like 77,000, I was at like 65. You're now up to like, what, 124?
Yeah, I mean... The Xbox does this cool thing where it tells you how much you've gotten in the last, like, 30 days or something like that at one point. Because I was playing a bunch of the Telltale games. I think I was up around, like, 3,000 points in, like, 30 days.
Wow.
Oh, they have full 1,000 points?
Yeah. Well, yeah. On the Xbox One.
Well, I'll be playing Game of Thrones soon after I finish the books, so that'll probably be a good 1,000 points right there.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wait. You'll have to wait for the whole thing to release. So,
it hasn't been released yet. I knew it was released in the Telltale pack, so I figured it would.
It's only the first episode in there. So,
oh, I thought they said the whole thing was released there. Okay.
No, it's like that. That's going to be like every 2 months. So,
okay, then I'll wait for the whole thing to release because I don't buy them.
It buys the whole thing for you.
Yeah, it gives you the
season pass.
Not out yet.
Yeah, it's the season pass on it. But you don't have the whole game in there just yet. Like. You'll get your 200 points for episode 1 or whatever, and then move on.
Yeah. Well, I only played season 1 of Walking Dead. I never bothered with any of their other games. I wasn't very big on that, but Game of Thrones, I'll play that. Because it's Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Sure. I'll wait for it to all come out.
Yeah, but now I'm going to wait for it. I thought it had already come out.
So. Yeah, Fozzie was trying to get it to be our game of the year.
Of course.
We told him no.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Yeah, he was trying to get episode one. He was trying to say that should be our game of the year.
Chris, what are you playing?
Currently Halo 5.
Oh, right, that's right. Are you still playing the Master Chief Collection?
On occasion, yes.
Is that working?
Probably like the middle of December, yeah.
Yeah?
It's been pretty good. It's weird. It's not perfect. I wish we could go back and re-have our conversation about most disappointing game, because Don kind of made the argument that, like,
Sounds so cool on paper, like that Master Chief Collection, and then I heard...
Yeah. Well, our argument, was like, it's going to get fixed, so it will eventually kind of not suck. But they, the way they've handled certain things in it is just straight up weird and broken.
Yeah.
When you play Halo, like, it throws you into a, when you play any of the other Halo games, like Halo 3, Halo 4, it throws you into a group of players that are, they're playing that game.
That type.
And it keeps you in there, though, until you leave that lobby. Like, the game ends, it'll throw everybody that's still in that lobby back into the lobby, and you can choose to leave or not. In Master Chief Collection, it dumps you out to the menu. So, by doing so, wait times for matches are kind of excessive, because you have to restart the matchmaking process after each match. And whatever, 30 seconds to a minute, it's not super long, but it's a big deal, after you've already waited 30 seconds to kind of get out of there into a match to start with, and then it backs you out, and you have to do it all over again. It's a little disappointing.
That's like the load screens of Dragon Age Inquisition, though. That was one of the things I really liked about it, is how long those damn load screens were.
Right.
Like, a minute each.
But if, like, yeah, you compare it to something like Call of Duty, where it's like, all right, there's a minute between each match, like, match ends and there's a minute intermission, but yeah, then you're right back into a match. Now,
yeah,
with Master Chief Collection, like, you're talking, like, 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes at a time sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And that gets, like, you want to play a few matches of Halo, it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But everything else seems to be working fine. They added achievements to Spartan Ops, which originally weren't there, so they're still working on it.
But Halo 5 is giving you positive.
I don't know. I mean, it's beautiful.
Okay,
it's beautiful.
Iron sights, right?
Game.
Yeah, that's still.
They're totally useless. They are pointless to you. Like, there are iron sights in the game. I don't see the reason that you would bring them up. And actually, it took me a little while to adjust to having them, because in a game that has them, you want to pull them up. Because it generally, if you play Call of Duty, you want to have your iron sights up, because it gives you better accuracy. This doesn't really benefit you in that way, and if you get shot, you get knocked out of it. But you immediately start to play it like you do Call of Duty or Battlefield or any other modern shooter. And so you want to bring your iron sights back up after you get knocked out of it. So my kill-death ratios were extremely terrible early on, because I kept wanting to bring up my sights on my assault rifle. You don't need to. You can play it like regular Halo, where you don't need to, like, accurately aim like that. It still shoots with the same accuracy as Halo, 1, 2, 3, or 4. It just takes a little while to get adjusted to having them, and kind of train yourself to not use them. But that said, it's Halo, but it's way quicker. Everybody kind of has the same loadouts. There's the jetpack on everybody that kind of lets you hover above the ground or give you like an added boost of speed. You can climb ledges now, which you couldn't do before.
Oh, that's right.
There's some weird changes to it that take a little bit adjusting to. And there's also this weird thing at the end of the game where the team that wins kind of stands around and they high-five each other. And like, in a game that already has people, that's kind of known for people sticking their balls on your head, adding more insult to injury of, like, having the other team kind of celebrate in front of you just seems a little, like, overkill to me, but...
Is that, do you think that's because of the influence of it trying to be on the esports circuit now?
Yeah, it's, or like, kind of like, hey, like, we're a bro game too.
Yeah. Like, we already knew that.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's never been like Call of Duty bro. Like, it's not like to that, like, and that's what this feels like. That end shot seems really weird to me. It's like a really minor touch. I don't care for it, but overall, I'm enjoying playing the game, and the maps seem cool. They're well designed, nice sight lines on everything, and there's a new mode in it called Breakout, which I really like. It's a best of nine match where you have one life, so you won't respawn as you play it. So it's 4-on-4, and you have one life to go through and take out the other team. In the round, so it plays a lot like Gears of War's Warzone, if you ever played that. And once you're dead, you're dead, and there's no radar or anything, so it's kind of a cool way of playing Halos. It has the Halo mechanics, but there's definitely this more tense run of, crap, the other team took out three of my guys, and there's still two of them left up there. How do we go about, you know, handling this?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. And there's another mode called Strongholds, which is basically just like a... I guess to compare it to Destiny is Control.
Oh, okay. Pretty standard where, stuff.
Yeah.
Hold down the serve's position.
Hold down the points. You gain points as you do that. So yeah. it's pretty cool. What else is there that I've been playing? I'm almost prestiged in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That game's a lot of fun. I played some more Dragon Age a little bit, like, you know, back in December, right before we recorded Game of the Year stuff, and it's a pretty game. Kind of talked about that, though. But I decided, since I wasn't hooked on that, I would go and play The Witcher. Like, the original Witcher.
I saw you playing that on Steam. I thought it was a mistake. Apparently not.
Wow.
It's a mistake in the fact that it's a buggy-ass game. And it doesn't run particularly well.
Yeah, optimization for that game was never that good for it. I think Witcher 2 had the same problem, too, on PC at first.
Well, fortunately, I have The Witcher 2 on 360, so I could play it there.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't, you could get it for free now.
Yeah,
that's
or
right.
You can get it for free.
Yeah.
Which is like, crap, I bought it like when it was on sale over the summer, and now they're offering it for free. And I never got around to playing it, so one of the things I want to do this year is like kind of actually play
the
games
that
I buy.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Instead of having like a backlog of... like 100 games or whatever. But yeah, so I played some of that. That story is really cool. Like, the idea of The Witcher. But the gameplay is... I don't know. It's weird. I like the idea of The Witcher as a world, but... maybe play The Witcher 2 and then Witcher 3 Wild Hunt when that comes out, and I'll be good.
Yeah,
I'll probably write something up for it on, I guess, one of my backlog games. And speaking of backlog, I played through the entirety of Wolfenstein, because Jeff would not stop talking about that game.
The New Order?
Yeah. My opinion did not change on that. I don't like that game. I think the encounter design is crap, and... I think the only good thing about that is the story, but I know other people have differing opinions on it. It's just, it's not for me. I guess that's fine. So that's it. That's all I've really been up to.
Okay.
I guess we should get into some news. Tony, what do we got?
News.
All right, we got some very interesting news. Extremely interesting. It's so interesting. I guess first we can start off with the top-selling games of 2014. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is number one.
Oh, wow.
Surprise.
All right. This is according to the NPD, by the way, so this is just the U.S. All right, guesses for number two.
Destiny.
No.
NBA.
Madden.
Madden NFL 15 is number two.
I will say I cheated. I read this news article earlier.
Damn it.
They're the only two I remember, except I believe Call of Duty Ghost was the number 10 best-selling game.
That was number 10. Number three is Destiny.
Yeah, there we go.
Number four is GTA 5. Number five is Minecraft.
Minecraft?
Yes.
Still.
It keeps coming off, coming to everything. This year it came to PS4 and Xbox One, so...
Yeah.
Everybody's buying
NPD only look at physical media?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They've started factoring in digital sales
digital
somehow.
Digital sales.
They have it from a couple of sources. They don't have all of them.
Well, I guess they would have to, like...
But these numbers only include physical sales. The report that they released to, you know, people who actually deserve the report, who aren't peasants like us, actually includes digital sales. Six is Super Smash Brothers. That includes both 3DS and Wii U versions.
Oh, they include both.
Okay, so they bundle them together.
Okay, well, good for them. Good for Nintendo.
Seven, NBA 2K15. Yes. Eight, to make everyone cry, Watch Dogs.
I never actually played it.
And you should continue that streak. Number 9 is FIFA 15, and 10 is last year's Call of Duty.
Well,
there you go.
So, one Nintendo game in the top 10.
And no RPGs.
No RPGs, and I don't think any console exclusives.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised Titanfall wasn't on there.
Titanfall did not sell that well.
It's sold about 2 million copies, but...
Does that include the ones that came with the console, though? Because I've got it because my first Xbox came with it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know that, I think Microsoft or EA kind of said that it sold about 2 million copies on the Xbox One, so that's pretty good.
It was capped. I think that was the biggest thing, was that there weren't that many Xbox Ones out there. But they basically hit that whole market, and then...
But it came out on 360 as well.
It came out on 360 and PC. Yeah. PC community has been dead from the beginning.
Why I didn't include PC when I said that.
Yeah.
Can't imagine the 360 version sold particularly well.
I was contemplating it, but I didn't know anyone else who had it.
That's just it. It's who would buy that? Like, I feel like anybody who would... love something like Titanfall so much, and the fact that it was a Microsoft exclusive, would already have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Right, or that would be what they would kind of like use as their jumping on point.
Right.
Like, all right, well, I'll get it now because that's the game I want to play.
Well, the only reason I have it is because, like I said, it came with the Xbox, and it's like, okay. I'm getting an Xbox One. Why don't I get one that comes with the game? It's the only one that they had that came with the game, so I bought it.
Have you played it?
No.
It's really good. Oh, it's really good. It was our game of the year.
Yeah, you don't like shooters, though, do you? So
not to. I do like Call of Duty every now and then, but other than that, not really.
Wait, was Titanfall really your game of the year?
Yeah.
Wow, what am I doing on this podcast? Why do I listen to this podcast? Really, Titanfall was your game of the year.
Obviously don't listen too well because we had a whole podcast selecting our game of the year.
Wow. I really listened to, I think, the year before where you guys did Tomb Raider. That was a good one. I got behind that one.
Yeah. Tomb Raider was good. I think this year we were limited. There weren't that many good choices, honestly.
Yeah, I wasn't excited by a lot of games this year. I only played 4 games that came out in 2014. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I personally think Titanfall made a lot of sense for us on this show that we're playing it. Like,
yeah,
like outside of Jeff, everyone really, really liked Titanfall. So, it made sense for us. Like.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing tweets about you guys saying how you guys wanted to get together to do Titanfall games. Like, you had Titanfall Night.
Yeah, I mean, I know we played a bunch when it came out, and then we played a bunch with some of other people recently that kind of just got an Xbox One, so...
Yeah, yeah. If I get one, I would definitely get Titanfall. Try it out. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you enjoy multiplayer shooters, it's very good. And they added this mode in called Frontier Defense late in the year, and that mode's fantastic because it's a cooperative mode, kind of tower defense-ish, where you're protecting this tower, and you have. You know, you bring down your Titans, and there's some strategy involved because there's different types of Titans, and it's really cool. Like, if you have it, you should play it.
Cool.
And I'm sure Tony and I will play it with you, so.
That's right.
Nice.
Maybe I'll play it.
What else we got in news?
Well, we haven't done news in so long. We didn't talk anything about Lizard Squad.
Oh,
on Christmas Day, taking down both the Xbox Live and PlayStation networks.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. We talked about them, now we move on. Don't give them fuel. Yeah.
Sony was down for longer, of course, because they're Sony, and now they're back
Sony
up.
Was down for longer, and then has been down several times since then.
Yeah.
Due to other hacks, some of which may have been North Korea.
How much stock do you give that?
How much stock? Well, I don't know. The FBI seems pretty convinced.
Chris, did you see the interview?
I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, see, neither have I.
It's on my list of shit I'll eventually watch.
Yeah. And going by the Razzies, it is shit.
Oh, is it? Like?
Oh, it got nominated? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's up for... Worst picture, so
sweet.
Way to go!
The Razzies always kind of like annoy me because like it's like what is the biggest kind of box office film we can kind of take hit at? Like we know these aren't the worst actual films that were released this year, but we're gonna take aim at like this stuff because it probably made a lot of money in some cases, and it's fun to make fun of them. Like,
we know everyone hates Adam Sandler, but right. We're going to nominate him.
It seems like their punching bag this year is Kirk Cameron, though.
Which, he's probably deserving of it, in some ways, I guess.
Yeah, I was going
to say. I've made some questionable choices.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of those movies.
Neither have I.
Good.
Yeah, I did not watch. Like, he had some Christmas movie or something out. And
yeah, that's
that.
The one that it was like Saving Christmas, and what one of the categories? I think they made it up just for him. It was like he got nominated for worst duo being him and his ego.
He did come out and say, "Hey, this was after it had been reviewed, and he was trying to get." Drum up box office support for it, so he kind of like went to social media and asked people to kind of go and upvote his film, like for user reviews elsewhere because the critics bombed, like they totally destroyed it.
So I'm a little confused. What is this Christmas movie? I don't want to give this more fuel, but what Christmas movie was this about? Like, what was the movie about?
I thought it was all about
Limbo or something or. Purgatory.
I don't know, but knowing Kirk Cameron, I would say that it's about him hating people for celebrating Christmas in a non-religious way.
Oh, okay.
Taking back Christmas from the people who use it more for festivity than it for celebrating religion.
Those ho-ho-hos.
Anyway, no more Kirk Hammer.
The Wizard Squad. Yeah, it sucked. Especially for me, because finally got the holidays off from work, and I was like hoping to play some stuff. Couldn't even get the updates I needed for some of the new games I bought. Well, it was annoying.
Yeah, I will say there were plenty of people out there who were like, okay, if you got your like kids a console, take it out of the box, do all the updates, and then put it back in the box.
Yeah, that was a smart move.
Because people who did that were able to at least use their boxes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the thing. When I got my Xbox One, I got it on Black Friday. Well, I ordered it off Amazon, but unfortunately, I used my money to pay my cable bill to buy my Xbox, so my cable got shut off, my internet. So I had to wait for my next paycheck, which was 2 weeks later, so I couldn't use my Xbox for 2 weeks after I got it.
That wow. kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Pay your bills, kids. Always pay your bills.
Good piece of advice.
I'm going to pay my cell phone bill. Thanks for reminding me, Josh.
No problem.
I just ran into the referee. I didn't know that was possible, but I did it.
Way to go.
Nice. Okay, so what else is next?
All right, let's go to the big gaming journalism news. Greg Miller and three other IGN staffers left IGN in order to, expand a channel they had already formed to include gaming.
Good for them.
Kind of funny games.
Yeah.
Kind of funny games.
Yeah, good for Greg, good for Colin, good for Tim and Nick. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you right now, I've met Colin and Greg, and I actually am currently supporting them on this endeavor. And I'll give it a shot. I'm giving them $1 a month, see how it goes. And I'm sure you'll talk about it, Tony. They've made quite a bit of money.
They have made a bit of money. I wouldn't say quite a bit of money. There's a nice breakdown on Polygon of what it actually takes to run something like this. And they're not making nearly as much money as you think that they are.
They also live in San Francisco, which is like one of the most expensive places.
Right. So I would say that their salaries at IGN being face type people, very well known in the industry, were quite large. So I'm thinking that personally this was probably a bit of a financial step back. It may work out for them in the end, but the short term is going to be a bit rougher for them, I think.
Yeah.
Now that said, they have a lot of outlets to expand their coverage and make money in other ways that aren't just Patreon and I think with the connections that they have that you've already seen. God, what's the guy who voices Batman and
Troy Baker?
Yeah, they've already had Troy Baker on this week. Like they've done a good job of leveraging people they already
Kevin
know
Smith
in the
on.
Industry. Yeah. So I'm thinking that they'll do well, but I wouldn't say that the Patreon number, even though it looks kind of big, isn't the be all and end all.
Yeah.
They're going to have to work hard to build it up.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they get ad revenue or YouTube revenue. I don't know how much that you can actually really make off that.
Depends. I mean, there are YouTube people that
have made quite a bit of money off it.
Yeah. I mean, like they're able to support themselves. So.
Yeah.
I was just shocked about it because it's for as long as they've been on there, both Greg and Colin have been saying, "We're never leaving IGN. This is our dream job. The only way we're ever leaving is if they make us." And then that happened. I was like, "Wow, I could not believe it."
I mean, I don't know those guys personally or any of the situation that's going on there. I just wonder if like maybe striking out on their own just
Oh, I completely support him. I never saw it coming. I never thought it would actually happen.
Yeah, that surprised me.
And especially because Podcast Beyond is what got me back into gaming. I was really big into gaming through high school, and then I stopped once I went to college for a good 6 or 7 years. But then I got my PS3, and I started listening to gaming podcasts, and that's the one that really got me hooked, was Podcast Beyond, and that's what got me playing Fallout 3, and Fallout 3 led to getting full-blown back into gaming.
Yeah. Greg Miller saved me $60. I almost bought Lair. I almost bought it. He said no. So I owe Greg $60.
He talked me into buying Infamous, which was a good decision.
Yeah, I think
Infamous was good.
I don't like some of his other coverage I haven't quite agreed with as much.
So I will say this, like, one of the good things about Greg and Colin is you really do get an understanding of their personality. So I don't want to say, like, I don't respect their opinion, but when I know when they're talking stuff about a certain game, and I'm like, I know your tastes, and I know my tastes.
Yes. Your tastes
are much higher, so I will not say, like, I think Colin said he loved Fear 3, and I'm like, that's, you don't play multiplayer games a lot, and I don't think this is a really good multiplayer game. So I take things with a grain of salt, because I understand his personality for it, that stuff. So that it kind of makes it easier for me to navigate my purchases when I hear his opinions and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's one of the big things I love about podcasts, because when it comes to reviews and stuff like that, it's like, yes, I know exactly what you mean. I'm very close in taste when it comes to Colin. Not so much with Greg, it's hit or miss, but like back when it was Clements on there, basically if he gave a game a good review, I probably knew that I was going to hate it.
Yeah.
But I like Clements. I thought he was awesome, but we have such different tastes in games. And because of what he was able to talk about on the show led me to know what to take out of his reviews and his opinions.
There's benefit to that in learning the personality and their tastes and stuff, as opposed to just going, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he does. Like, he likes something different than you, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's fine. You can then go, okay, he didn't like this game, and this is why, so maybe I'm going to jump in, and this will be something I like.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a hard thing when new journalists are starting at, like, websites at IGN or Polygon, right? These guys that are there now, they haven't really built their personality up. Like, there's a lot of new writers now at IGN, since there's a big void to fill.
Yeah.
But they're not on podcasts, so it's really hard for me to, when I read their reviews, I'm like, okay, I kind of see it, I'm kind of interested in certain games, but then I don't know if this is the game, this person's tastes are similar to mine, or they might be different, but that I don't know what their previous tastes are.
Yeah, right. You have to build up a whole new rapport with the reviewers.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to get used to what those guys like and don't like, and that's part of the problem with building up these personalities so big, though, is that when they leave, they leave a huge hole, and, like, IGN was really filled with personalities. IGN, GameSpot, Polygon, like, that's kind of the mold that they set, and now, like, IGN has this big void. And so does GameSpot, too, actually. So.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing for them is that Colin and Greg are staying on Beyond for at least a little while. But at the same time, even if they weren't, they've got their own thing going now that you can go listen to them. They have their show every day, and you can get their input that way instead. It's they're not completely gone, as opposed to, like, Clements. I have no idea what he thinks of games anymore. He was working for PlayStation.
Yeah, but in the sense that IGN is getting the coverage they're making, they are gone.
Yeah. That's just IGN. But the people that I go to for my gaming thing, for reviews, I can still go to them.
So here's what I want to throw out there. Tony, maybe you have the story on this. Doesn't Jim Sterling also do Patreon as well? Or
I know a lot of people do. I'm Not sure about Jim specifically.
He does something similar, if not Patreon specifically.
But oh, really? Because I was going to say he's gone solo. So it seems like it's just the turning of the tide. These personalities of internet websites, journalists, are just going to be probably branching off and going on their own. Because Jim Sterling's done it.
I think it's very possible that from a financial standpoint that some of these companies aren't holding up as well as they used to.
Yeah.
No, and personalities cost a lot of money, too.
They do.
Exactly. You're not paying for a writer, you're paying for the personality. You're treating them as talent, not writers anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Giant Bomb keeps such a small staff, because that's all that site is personality.
Personality, yeah. Yeah, I've just actually started listening to Giant Bomb as of, like, last year, and I'm really enjoying all their talent and personalities, and I'm really starting to get a feel for what they say, and they do reviews that are, like, what, 5 stars? And I'm like, ideally, I would love a number, but that's okay. I'm getting a better understanding of their tastes, so I know what they're looking for and what their expertise are, and I can actually say, oh, okay, yeah, this is worth checking out, or no, you know what, I'll pass on it.
Well, and kind of what's interesting about how they approach things is they're not going to go with, like, IGN, GameSpot, Polygon, well, maybe not so much Polygon, but definitely IGN and GameSpot, they're going to cover everything.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Giant Bomb is going to cover stuff that they're interested in, so you're either going to get, like, a really positive review or a really, like, negative review.
Yeah.
Like, when it's really middling, it's, like, really odd for them, because they're passionate about, like, their likes and dislikes. And
yeah.
So, it's something, I guess.
I'm starting to see a lot more Patreons starting to pop up on my Twitter feed, too. A lot of people are doing Patreons now. Seems like the new Kickstarter.
Yeah, I've seen that, too.
I think Britt just started one.
Yep.
Yes, she did.
Yep.
Britt. I saw another person by the name of Heidenweiss doing one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if this is just new wave or I don't know. I don't know. How do you... I'm sure you guys have talked about Kickstarter before, but how do you guys now feel about Patreon?
I'm more in favor of Patreon than a lot more in favor of Patreon than I am Kickstarter. Because Patreon is like, it's something that you get into, and if you don't like what they're doing, you can always pull out.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep supporting the person, you just keep giving them your money. You like what that person is doing. But with Kickstarter, you give them money, and there's no guarantee you're going to get any return on that investment.
Yeah, and my problem with Kickstarter is I've only kickstarted a few things on there, but the last thing I kickstarted was Tommy Tallarico's Video Games Live album, and all I was getting after I supported it and he hit his goal was updates after updates after updates, and I'm just getting tired of this, and I'm like...
You can shut them off.
Oh, I know, but then I'm like, when do I get my reward? And I actually had to tweet at him saying, hey, did you ever give out those rewards for that thing? And he's like, oh yeah, I did that a while ago. It was in the update. I get way too many updates. Stop it. Like, I don't know. I didn't know. So I'm like, so how do I go redeem this? He's like, oh, just go to this. I'm like, okay, thank you. No more Kickstarters, please.
Yeah, the only thing I ever kickstarted was the comedy button when they did theirs a few years ago there after they left 1UP. Or 1UP went away. And it's like, I really liked their podcast when they were on 1UP. So I was like, okay, I'll contribute to this and we'll get more of that. But when they started their own podcast, it's like, okay, now they're just trying to be funny. And they're not really that funny. I don't like them. I didn't like them nearly as much anymore. It's like, I completely stopped listening to the podcast. And then they started putting ads in and they're doing all this other stuff to keep getting more and more money. It's like, I get it's the business and everything, but it's like, okay, I've... Like, you guys, you're, what, 325 or 335 now?
Right.
And you've never asked me for any money, but these
people... To be fair, we do this for fun.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But they were only doing theirs for fun, too. It's like, to me, it's arrogant to do that kind of thing, because they did the Kickstarter to get equipment. It's like, what kind of equipment do you need? There's so many people who do podcasts with a computer and a $30 headset from Best Buy, and it sounds perfectly fine. You don't need to go out and buy $8,000 worth of equipment.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's a new way for a lot of people following their business dreams and wanting to be entrepreneurs, you know.
It's a better business model than I think the one the gaming industry had before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you're just based on ad revenue and hoping people don't run ad block and like yeah. Basically you're stuck either trying to do clickbait or bending your articles, the articles you're publishing to the publisher's will. Neither which is a particularly good thing for the industry. So I think in that sense, people paying for the coverage that they really want to read is a much better model.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to talk about that a little bit, about clickbait. I used to follow another gaming website, GamesRadar, and I followed their Twitter feed, and honestly, it was just all clickbait. And I'm like, wow, this is very close to clickbait. I'm going to unsubscribe. I mean, if you do the clickbait, and I understand, like, you're trying to get these people to come to your website and get the ad revenue, but it's like, oh man, I feel like I don't want to waste my time with websites that try and do that. But yeah. I understand it, right? I get it, but at the same time, anyways. Good luck, Greg and Colin.
Yeah. I hope they do well.
Yeah.
So do I.
Anything else in news?
Let's see. Xbox One. So during the holidays, it was cheap. It was very cheap. It was $50 off, plus there were a bunch of deals that made it even cheaper than that.
I got one.
Starting on Friday, January 16th, the $50 off is coming back.
Yay, in U.S. only. It's U.S. only. It is U.S. only. It was never in Canada, so I really would wish this would expand, and I'm hoping that there's a chance that maybe it'll expand this time. But
it might. I have a feeling that like what they really wanted to do was close gap in the U.S. first.
Yeah.
Just because that's probably where they make the most of their money.
Yeah, it is. And the problem is the Canadian dollar has kind of slipped, so it's not worth that much as it used to be. So that's why I kind of think that's the economics behind why it's only in the U.S. But I'm hoping down the road that they do it, because then I will definitely pick up an Xbox One if they do that.
All right.
Yeah, but it's a smart move, and they let NPD for November and December, right?
Yes.
Yeah, good for them.
For the first time. Although, I have to say, we really benefited, I think, from the fact that Microsoft was behind. I think they spent a lot of money, and we're going to get a lot of things that we wouldn't have otherwise gotten, like Rise of the Tomb Raider being exclusive, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
big.
And it kind of makes me sad that Microsoft took the lead. Little bit.
Well,
having an Xbox One, I kind of wish they were behind for a little longer.
Well,
yes. Yeah, okay,
but they are still behind, like in the U.S. overall and worldwide. Oh, like they're really behind.
They're catching up. Give them time. Yeah. Are they ahead of the Wii U now? I don't know.
Oh yes, they are. Yeah, they're ahead of the Wii U.
Good.
I still don't understand what PS4 has to offer. It's like Colin's been saying the entire time is their best game is still what's it called, the stick shooter that came out when it launched.
Rezogun?
Yeah, Rezogun. That game's awesome, but it, like you said, it's still the best game on the system. There's nothing that surpassed it yet.
Exclusive one, though. Nothing's there. Transistor, yeah, that's not even that great.
Exclusives, really. The Bloodborne is the only... I would love to play that game, but I'm not buying another PS4 just to play it.
Yeah.
It's all down the road. This console generation is going to be very long, so you'll have a reason to pick up both consoles at some point.
Yeah, but in general, I've never been big on any of the PS4... PlayStation exclusives. Like, I'm not big on the Uncharted series. I didn't really like The Last of Us. Little Big Planet's the only series that I really liked from them, and from everything I've seen, Little Big Planet 3 wasn't that great, and it's on PS3, so if I really want to play it, I can just buy it on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. No one's forcing you to do anything. Yeah, like,
I'm gonna make you do it. I'm gonna make you.
Second Son was okay.
I kind of enjoyed the first two Infamous games, but it's like I was excited about Second Son. It's like,
yeah.
I'm kind of the same way on all the PlayStation exclusives except for Little Big Planet, the first Little Big Planets. I love those two, but the other ones, it's like, okay, everything, the Uncharted, Last of Us, Infamous, they're all like around sevens for me.
Okay.
They're good, but they're not anything like console drivers.
Tony, when are you going to get your PS4?
I need more games. So, I like...
MLB The Show.
Show is my game. I'm a fan of Infamous, but it's not really something that would pull me in. And of course, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, really not something I love. So Bloodborne isn't much of a seller. So I'm gonna need something else. God of War. I'm gonna need. I don't know, something else.
I'm the same way on God of War. So it's about around a 7, but I do love the Dark Souls and Demon Souls series. So that's the one thing that I'm missing is.
I enjoy the God of War. They're fun. Anyways, yeah, no one's going to force you, and eventually, you'll get all the consoles that you want.
Yeah, I would love to play Bloodborne. It's gonna kill me for a while that I don't have it because I do love those games so much. Like, one of my most anticipated games of this year is Dark Souls 2 on Xbox One, and I've already got the platinum and I 100%ed it on Xbox 360, but I'm gonna do it again on Xbox One when it comes out.
Those aren't my kind of games, so whatever you want.
I'm kind of looking for, I know everyone else has kind of been like, the order kind of looks like garbage, but
it's the one early
PS4 game this year that I'm kind of interested in. So
I'm interested in it too, Chris. You're not alone. I'm interested in it too, but whatever. I'll wait. I'm in no rush. That's the other thing. Like, I mean, you got kids, and I'm busy with work, so finding time to play all these games, anyways, is just starting to get something to be on your backlog. True. So I'm in no rush to get anything.
I've got the opposite problem. It's it doesn't seem like there's any games coming out that I want to play. Right now, the only thing that's in my backlog, really, that I really want to play is Shadow of Mordor. I just finished Dragon Age, so it's like I'm giving it a little while before I get into another game along that line. After I'm done with Dead Rising 3, I'll jump into Shadows of Mordor. But then the next thing coming out, I kind of want to play Evolve and Batman. But
see, Evolve doesn't even interest me at all.
Yeah, I'm out on Evolve. Like,
yeah, just, I think it looks awesome. My only problem with it is like I think it could just easily go the way of so many other online games. Is that after 2 weeks nobody will be playing it anymore, and you really need people to be playing that game.
Yeah,
What I liked about Left 4 Dead was. That game was great when you played with four people, but by yourself. Like, you could run through those campaigns by yourself, and it was still fun. Like,
yeah,
this game does not look like that's possible.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Maybe you need five people, and
there are people who still play Left 4 Dead. I said, well, you can just get your normal party together, and you can all just jump in and play Evolve. And it's like, okay, that's nice if you have those people who that you your go-to gaming group, but
right,
who don't have that go-to gaming group that are just either stuck playing with randoms the entire time, which randoms suck, as everybody knows. So
yeah, it does. I'm surprised there's still no matchmaking in the raids for Destiny, because it's so hard to get six people for me.
Yes, right.
Yeah, like. Holy cow, I can't believe it's that hard.
Going back to PS4 stuff, though, my PlayStation Plus membership evidently expired, and I don't know when I will renew that. So. So
they're still rushing.
Wait, did you get your extra 6 free days or whatever it was?
It evidently expired like sometime before December 25th. Oh, okay. So no, I did not.
Okay. And you didn't even notice. You're like, oh,
I didn't.
It's expired.
I didn't notice. I went to go get a Infamous First Light, and it was like your membership is expired. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to spend $50 on something that.
Well, I'm like that with Xbox 360. I don't think I'm going to be renewing that till I get an Xbox One. So
yeah, like I mean, if you're using it, that's awesome. Like, but I play most of my multiplayer games on
Xbox. Yeah, I know.
Like, so that's just like it doesn't quite work for me to like. I don't know. Like, I like the idea that they give you free games, and those free games are generally pretty good.
Yeah,
but okay. I don't play those free games, though. It's like, I download them, I, like, get them in my queue, and I can get to them, but I never actually play them.
Some are worth definitely your time. Which one was it that I got for free that I enjoyed? Oh, Injustice was really fun.
Yeah, that was sitting on, like, I went in, it wouldn't let me, didn't have the plus next to anything. And then I hit Injustice because I had downloaded that, and it was like, the license for this content has expired, and that's when I was like, oh, I think my PlayStation Plus is gone.
There was one point last year that I went through and played a lot of the games that I got from PS Plus on PS3, and a lot of them were pretty good, but a lot of them were just like, okay, I got sick of playing them after like an hour.
Stuff was there. If you redeem it, you can redeem it. If not, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I've got like a 500 gig hard drive in my PS3, so I've only got it like half full, and I basically downloaded all the games that have been on there since I got my new PS3, so it's taking a while to fill up.
Yeah. What else is next?
Oh, the last piece of news I had was... Was it today, the Nintendo Direct, or was it yesterday? I have no idea.
Yesterday. It was yesterday.
It doesn't really matter, because this is Friday anyway, so it's not on the day.
Yeah, sure. So educate me on this. I totally missed everything. All I heard was about a new 3DS, but something without a missing power cord.
All right, so Nintendo had already announced the new 3DS, for God knows what reason. For some reason, they've decided not to include an AC adapter in with the purchase of a new Nintendo 3DS.
So how do I play this thing?
They're assuming that you can either buy it separately or that you probably have one already, because it's compatible with the AC adapter from from the DS and the 3DS.
I do not own that, so that's a very stupid move on their part.
Yes, it's a really bad move to have something that is a handheld and absolutely needs to be charged.
Out of the box.
Right, to not have something to charge it in the box. It's going to confuse a lot of people who are already going to go to the store and say, I'd like to buy a new 3DS. And like, oh, would you like the 3DS or the new 3DS? Or the new 3DS XL or the 3DS XL? And they're going to, you know, their head's going to explode right there. I'm like, I want the newest one. And like, oh, do you want an AC adapter too? And they're like, what?
Yep.
Yes. This is Nintendo's height of brilliance. But that said, I mean, they announced the new 3DS. They immediately put the I'm gonna mess up which Zelda game it is. Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask themed. New Nintendo 3DS XL went up on GameStop's website, and 15 minutes it was already sold out.
So this is the new 3DS. It's just got a Majora's Mask on it, right?
Yes, it does not come with Majora's Mask, mind you. You have to buy the game separately.
So it's themed, and it doesn't come with a power cord.
Yes, those things are true.
And it's sold out
in 15 minutes.
Congratulations, Nintendo. You are amazing. I don't know why other business can do that.
Well, to go to their point with that, those are the people that are going to buy the Majora's Mask 3DS. Like, the people that already have a 3DS, like, they're the people that are buying, like, they're the diehard Nintendo fans. Majora's Mask is not like a casual Nintendo.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is definitely good for the hardcore, the guys who actually have the power cord.
Right. Like, so you could get away, but like, I really wonder when it comes around next year when Pokemon, you know, Double Z XYZ comes out, and how are they going to work it that way? Like, because there are going to be people buying this for their kids, and their kids probably don't have one yet. Like, that's why they're getting it.
Yeah, and then the parents, then they'll say, my game's not working. It won't turn on. And he's like, well, plug it in. He's like, I don't have the cord. Well, what'd you do with the cord? How did you lose the cord already? And they're all going to get pissed off at their kids, and their kids had nothing to do about it.
And they've made the naming convention so insane that nobody's going to know how to order it to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know how to order a 3DS now.
You can't. It's impossible. You have to listen to the Nintendo Direct for the directions. They give you the secret code to say to the guy at GameStop.
So, I can't even remember. This is the new 3DS. This is the one that has a new processor in it, right?
Yep.
So yeah. Not every 3DS game will work with it?
I believe every 3DS game will work with it, but yes. There will be new 3DS games that will not work with the old 3DS.
Yeah, have you
said what games will not work yet? I don't think I've ever heard that. Any story out of there.
Well, they haven't announced too many games for it yet.
Yeah, right now it's just Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're right, yes.
Which is like the remake or the, you know, the Wii port. You. And that will not work on a regular 3DS. You need a new 3DS for that.
That's the only game.
At this point, I mean, there might be other ones, but...
Can I buy the regular 3DS? Is that even possible?
Can you buy the 3DS? Yeah.
A regular 3DS, not the new 3DS.
Yeah, you can buy a regular 3DS. It'll be out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You buy a 3DS XL, you can buy... You know,
I recommend the 2DS if you don't want the 3D.
Or the 2DS.
It's very, very inexpensive.
Wait, does that come with an adapter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Mine did. That's how I play my Pokemons.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm already confused. And I'm not even prepared. I feel bad for those.
Is there anything else that came out of that that Nintendo Direct?
I mean, there were a lot of announcements, but I didn't care about most of them.
That was the big one.
No new Amiibos?
They did announce some new Amiibos.
Yeah.
You have
Pac-Man.
I didn't care about the old Amiibos, so...
Pac-Man's coming.
That's cool.
I'll get Pac-Man.
There's a surprise.
Right?
Hey, well...
And evidently there's a new set of Mario Amiibos. So Mario, Peach, Luigi, Bowser. These amiibos that were already released, they're getting new amiibo figures. So in new poses, new looks, possibly new costumes, they're all getting a new set. So that's a little weird to me.
I still don't understand amiibos. That's way too soon.
Yeah, what's the purpose of an amiibo?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Look like action figures to me. So.
I like to use them as
no
desk
action
ornaments.
Figures can actually do things.
Yeah,
they just don't do they things. Don't.
Okay. They're like little plastic statues.
So wait, they made a version 2.0 of the amiibo for Mario, new pose.
Already, yes,
but it doesn't. They haven't outlined if it's for a new game. How it works with Smash Brothers, or
it would work the same way with Smash Brothers. Like, you could still level it up to 50. Oh, that was the other thing they said about the amiibos. So if you want to use the amiibos in, I think it's Mario Party 10? Or whatever the new Mario Party game is, you need to wipe your amiibo data. Because it can't hold, it can't save multiple game data on the one amiibo.
If you level up my amiibo to level 50,
you'd have to wipe it to use it in Mario.
Is there a way to back it up?
No.
So Amiibos are the 2015 version of memory cards?
Sort of, except the management is more of like a... Oh, God, I don't even know what.
Yeah, or it's like buy another Mario Amiibo if you want to play Mario Party 10, because you don't want to wipe your level 50 Mario Amiibo in Smash Brothers. You want to be able to you know, use them in Mario Party. You're going to have to buy a new Mario Amiibo. It's Chris, I don't understand this shit at all. It makes
Chris,
zero
if you
sense.
Buy a Mario 2.0 because you don't want to wipe your fucking memory off of that, we are no longer friends.
Oh no! If I buy
we are no longer friends.
If I buy a Mario 2.0 Amiibo, it is so that I can put it on my desk at work. It'll have nothing to do with me wanting to play Mario Party 10. And I don't know, like, I don't even know if I want that.
Johnny, do your kids want Amiibos, or
they don't care?
My son doesn't understand what the hell it's for, Tony. Like, do your kids get it at all, or
no?
Yeah,
my children, or the one that's old enough to actually know, has never asked for Nintendo anything. So
my son's really into Pokemon, and like somehow he got into the card game, like the Pokemon card game, like back in like end of October, early November. So that's all he wanted for Christmas, and we got him a bunch of that. And I got him the Pikachu Amiibo, and he's like, "What do I do with it? I don't know. Like, it just looks cool. Put it on your desk." I'm very confused by it, and I have more than I probably should.
It sounds like it has so much potential, but it hasn't been really thought out or developed.
No. It's like they saw Disney and Activision making truckloads of money, and to be fair to Nintendo, they are making truckloads of money off of this, except I understand the purpose behind Skylanders and Disney Infinity.
Because I don't know if this major news, but wasn't there a guy who bought a bunch of Amiibos so no one could buy them or get them?
Oh, well, that's nice of him.
Trying to corner the market on Amiibos.
It was I can't remember which character it was.
I am the Amiibo Baron.
I don't know. I know Link is sold out, because I went looking for a Link, and I could not find one.
Rosina, I think it was. Rosetta? Is there a Rosie or something?
Rosalina?
Yeah. Somebody bought all of hers, I think.
That's what? Why?
I don't even know how you did that. And second of all, they can just make more.
And like, what do you do with them? Like, I have 7,000 Rosalina.
You're not gonna do a Mario Party with her included.
Like,
that way, you never have to wipe your data. You just get another Rosalina. You got 20 of them already.
Right.
Jeez.
Be funny when they go, Rosalina's not compatible with Mario Party 10.
That's how you screw the guy who bought them all.
The way they're handling it is really weird. Like, there are certain Amiibos that they are not making more of right now, or that they did low print runs of them. So evidently, like, it's really hard to get. It's Little Mac, the guy from Punch Out. Like, it's really hard to get him, and Marth, and the Wii Fit Trainer. Evidently. It's really weird. I'm confused. I don't get it.
Didn't they also announce a new Fire Emblem game, or is that not? I don't know what it was. Something about Fire Emblem. I've never played it.
I don't know. I know that Codename Steam is evidently compatible with a couple Fire Emblem characters, so.
Huh.
I don't know if that's a. What you're talking about, though. I don't play Fire Emblem, so I don't... I hear that.
I heard stuff about it on the Nintendo Direct. Oh, well.
I know that Splatoon, I think, is coming maybe in March.
That looks interesting. That game looks really cool.
Yeah. And Kirby, the new Kirby game, comes in February at some point, so...
Kirby.
Yeah. That was your last bit of news, Tony?
Yep, that was all I had.
All right. So the Destiny news that I had seen is there's evidently a roadmap for how they're handling that game going forward. We know about the second expansion. I believe it's called House of Wolves.
Yep.
That's coming in either February or March. And then it's going to be a little while, but then there's going to be a third expansion in September. And there's speculation that this is a disc-based expansion. It is going to be a bigger expansion than like the other two, featuring like a whole new map area to go play. So,
ooh, really? I don't know.
Yeah, and an increase of the base level. So the base level right now is taxed at 20.
Yeah.
And so this expansion in September will evidently increase the base level to 30. Then light levels will increase after that. Like, you'll start gaining light levels after 30 with this expansion, which is being called Comet. And then two more expansions, kind of like the House of Wolves Dark Below expansions, smaller expansions, will release in the same sort of pattern, December and then, you know, March, before Destiny 2 releases in 2016.
So they're planning an expansion that comes out later this year, mm-hmm. supposedly, with more DLC added onto it.
Yes.
Huh. And my season pass, which was $35,
only has the first two. Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, so...
I think I'm going to abandon Destiny.
Let it eat your life.
See, I saw it with the amount of time I have. I'm like, I'm going to make this my life. But then when I realize I'm doing the same thing over and over again, I can't make this my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other games that you can play that you can do over and over again and
get different outcomes and different fun experiences. Yeah.
Yeah, and aren't quite as frustrating.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Destiny. I don't know. I'm in it at least through the next expansion. So, they're going to have to make big changes though, going forward. And right now, every move they make seems to kind of be like they're not moving forward; they're moving to the side or backwards. So. I don't know. Don keeps threatening to get me into a raid. So I've only run the first raid, like to hit the halfway point twice. So.
Oh, did you get stuck at the jumping puzzles?
I don't even think we made it that far. The last time I played, we got to what was it? Like, you fight the oracles, and then this big thing comes out. And
him. Okay, yeah, I know where
you are. That's where we died at, and I was like, oh, good, I'm done. We did that for 3.5 hours. That wasn't any fun.
You know what's really weird about those raids is, if you were all noobs and you didn't know what to do, you'd be very lost in that game on...
Yes.
It doesn't direct you very well.
No.
Like, everyone had to tell me what to do. Yes. When I first did it.
And the problem is it goes, like, you can do this at level 26, except it is virtually impossible for a team of level 26 players to actually do it.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be closer to, like, level 28, level 29 to make it more of a normal run. And that's crazy because I always feel underleveled.
Yes, I will say this, and I kept thinking to myself, the better armor will drop at some point. I didn't realize you really should be doing those reputations and Vanguard marks. Like, no,
yes,
really, what you should be doing is doing these things so that you can buy
the better armor. Yeah,
buy the thing you need. And yeah, then
in a game that is claims to be a loot-based game.
Yeah. That's
buy your
thought.
Shit.
Buy the shit that you want. And it's weird, man. It's so weird.
And then what they did with this expansion was they kind of went and changed things around where the gun that I had that I was working towards upgrading, and I know you kind of said it, Justin, with your exotic, but I was working on a legendary scout rifle, which I really liked. But now, like, if I go to the same vendor where I bought that scout rifle,
you're buying
that scout, but that scout rifle has a higher base value of damage than mine because I have the old scout rifle.
It's the same so gun.
It's the same gun, same name, but they've upped the value. So if I want to buy it again and redo all the work I did, I can do that, or I can have a gun that is legitimately weaker.
That's right.
It's really dumb. Whatever. Anyway, I think that's it. That's all we got for this week.
I'm going to stick to strategy games where the developers don't hate me.
I'm waiting for the new XCOM game. I'm sure that's going to be announced this year, right, Tony?
I would love to hear a new XCOM
game. Oh my god, you and me on the same page, my friend.
And I'm hoping at some point this year, Elder Scrolls Online will finally come to console.
I have a feeling that is never coming to console.
That will
so
come
do I. That's why I said hopefully at some point this year when it was supposed to be released in June of last year.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be released even earlier than that, and then they pushed it to June, and then they pushed to
subscriber numbers have dropped for that thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if they modified the console version to be free to play.
Yeah, and I'd have a problem with that as well.
I think that'll be the only way we see it come to consoles, though, like at this point.
A free to play, or you have to rebrand it and do what Final Fantasy XIV did. And that worked. Somehow that worked for them.
Yeah, well, they basically took it offline and then went back to the drawing board and redeveloped it.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't refund your money even if you bought it.
Yeah, no. Good luck with that. Yeah. So, Justin, you should buy a Xbox One when you get a chance.
I will. We'll definitely play some stuff together. And you should renew your subscription to PS4 at some point. At some point. I didn't say now. I said some point.
Yeah. Well, give me a reason to, and when something comes out, like, does The Order have multiplayer?
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, so maybe, like, in February I'll renew it, because I'll need, I want to play that with other people, so.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
Yeah. And, Josh, you should play Titanfall.
I might give it a try.
Especially since you have it already.
Yeah.
It's in your backlog. Technically, you do have to play it.
It's required by law.
Yeah.
Going by that logic, then at some point I have to also play both Assassin's Creed games, because I got those with my last Xbox One.
Play Black Flag.
I've gotten 3 free games. Well, I should play Black Flag at some time, because I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've heard nothing but bad things about the other one. I don't even remember what it's called.
Unity,
okay.
People are saying, like, I'm hearing good things about it now that it seems to actually be working, so.
Yeah, but I've also heard the story isn't that much better. I don't know, man. Assassin's Creed has never hit that spot for me, ever.
Oddly, the only one I ever really liked was 3. It's the one that everybody else seems to hate it.
Yeah,
I love Part 3.
I hate 3. Black Flag.
I didn't hate 3. Alright, well, Tony and I will be back next week with, hopefully with Fozzie and Jeff.
I'm sure Jeff will be moved in. And evicted. All in one day.
All in the same
day. Do not underestimate Jeff's laziness.
Jeff's girlfriend will have already kicked him out of their shared apartment.
Yeah.
It's a new record.
Less than a week. He's back living in his friend's garage.
What's wrong? He lives in the garage.
Well, no, he just recorded from the garage often. He did have a room.
Like, okay.
Yeah. And Fozzie should be back as well, but we never know with him, so.
Before we go, footballs this week. What are your picks?
Patriots.
Hmm. Pats. All the way.
Patriots and Seahawks.
Yeah, that's what I got, too. I would like Colts and Seahawks, but I think it's going to be Pats and Seahawks. All right.
I think any of these teams that win, we should get a good Super Bowl out of it. So,
yeah.
It's a shame about Peyton, though. It's all over, I think. I think he's done.
Yes.
Sounds like he's coming back next year.
Did he make more statements? Because, like, what I was hearing at the
end of
last week.
He didn't say anything, but Elway sounds convinced.
Oh. Well, maybe.
Yeah, Fox wasn't convinced, but... Or, no, Fox didn't want him back, so he's gone, which means that probably means that he's coming back, or else Fox would still be there.
Huh. Well, I mean, it must be hard when you have your offensive coordinator out on the field at all times, so... I mean, what do you need to have an offensive coordinator on staff for when you have Peyton Manning?
But, like, Adam Gase is, like, a hot coaching prospect now. Like, people want him as their head coach. I don't know why. Yeah.
It's like, you know Peyton makes all the balls, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be interested to see how those games turn out. Sunday will be fun.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll be back next week. Justin, Josh, why don't you say goodnight?
Goodnight.
Goodnight.